Good morning and welcome to the service that's happening here live in St. John's in Cornwall, Ontario, and also being streamed around the world. Thank you for worshiping with us in this place, which stands on the traditional territory of the First Nations people, the Mohawk of Haudenosaunee or Iroquois Confederacy. We urge you to respect this land and live in peace, justice, and tolerance with all who have been here before us, those who are here now, and those who will come in the future. I advertise me speaking to a lot of people around the world, so we have people from China. Ni hao, xiao xiang chou, wei lu peng you. We have people from Italy. Buon migliorio, dio mei amici, come stai oggi? From Spain, buenas tardes amigos, come sta usted esta domingo? Montreal, bonjour mes amis, comment ça va aujourd'hui? And to my children in Japan listening to this video, Ohio, Kendall and Jamina, konnichiwa. Don't get worried, we are not going to have the service in five languages. That's the sort of limit of my saying hello to the people that I know. May the grace of our Lord and Savior and the peace of Jesus Christ be with us all as we come today to worship. My name is Keppel Barth, and I am here at my home congregation, St. John's. On a personal note, I arrived in Canada 47 years ago today. A 17-year-old young lanky kid, well, not so young and lanky anymore, with one suitcase and $100. What a glorious country Canada is, and I thank you for accepting me and my family here in Canada. Today is the ninth Sunday after Pentecost. Let us pray to the Lord this prayer of confession. Oh, before I start, I have a lot of things to do. Bit of a mistake there. I first have to light the Christ candle. Alex warned me about that. The second thing is Reverend Adams is on vacation. So if you have any needs, please contact your elders. The no-bake sale that we have been having to purchase new video equipment so that we can have this service live-streamed professionally, we have actually exceeded our target. We've made $5,400+, so we are going to be having a record. Thank you very much. The church office hours are Wednesday to Friday, 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. And thankfully, we have gotten a lot of rain in the last few hours, and it's going to continue to rain all day, which is very good for the garden. Doug, I see your garden up at Pitt Street, and it's going quite well. I have to take a picture also of all of the people here for contact tracing. So give me your good smiles. And I just get the back of Gary's head there. So we have all of that done. Now we can start the service. Let's open with the prayer of confession. Most holy and righteous God in heaven, we offer our lives to you, even though we are broken and in need of mending. We live in the shadows and not in your light. We are in need of kindness. We need your calming spirit to soothe us. Our lives need your hope. Please eradicate our despair. Take what is broken and mend it. Take what is wrong and right it. Take what is destructive and disable it. Take what is useless and make it useful. Help us to heal our sinful ways and set us straight on your path. We pray these things in your name. Amen. The prayer of approach, I would like us to read it all in unison. Heavenly Father, we come to you in search of leadership. We look to you for guidance. We rushed into your presence so that we can feel your spirit. We need to be rescued from this maddening world. Your house is a place of refuge that all are welcomed into. we are reminded that you are here amongst us. Jesus promised to be present whenever his children meet together. We thank the musicians, ushers, board, session, and technical people involved in bringing this service to our parishioners. We pray that they will be inspired, encouraged, and guided by God's Spirit. We pray for the guests that are here in St. John's and online. Thank you for bringing us safely together. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Our opening hymn this morning is actually one of my favorites, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. It was written in 1885 by William Henry Parker. He was a member of the Chelsea Baptist Church in Nottingham, England, where he was active in Sunday school program. He used this hymn to assist him in getting the Sunday school class to remember the many things that the Lord has done. And he found that music and prose stimulated areas of the brain that usually lay dormant. He wrote many hymns and songs throughout the years and had them published in the Sunday school hymnary. The music that accompanies this hymn was penned by Frederick Chaloner, who was a British composer. At 10 years of age, Chaloner was a laborer in the brickworks. At age 12, he was working in a coal mine. He pursued higher education, and these studies resulted in him becoming an associate of the Royal College Music, where he earned a Bachelor of Music's degree. The music is attractive, partly because of its simplicity and expressive qualities, but also for its originality and directness. Now, when I was growing up in Trinidad, I always thought that this song had only two verses, because that's all we sang. But now I realize there are five, and we will sing all five for you. Michelle, will you please join me at the front to sing number 348, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus.
Things I would ask him to tell me, if he were
Let us bow our heads in prayer. For the prayer of confession. Almighty and merciful God, we come before you knowing that we have erred and strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have frequently followed the devices and desires of our own hearts. We have offended against your holy laws and have left undone those things which we ought to have done. We also have done things which we ought not to have done. Thus, we are in need of correction, as there is little good in us that is worth saving. Lord, have mercy upon us, miserable offenders. Restore those who are penitent, according to your promises declared unto men in Christ Jesus our Lord. Grant that we may hereafter live a godly, righteous, and sober life and give glory to your name. Amen. And for the assurance of pardon, I've copied it from Psalm 103, verses 8 to 12. Let us repeat in unison. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Amen. The scriptures reading this morning will be done by Brian Markell. Now, before you start, Brian, in the West Indies, when we had scripture readings, we always sang a small song to prepare the mind to receive the scriptures. So this morning, we will sing number 27, As the Deer Turns. Can you please read us the scriptures? Thank you.
Our first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Genesis 32, verses 22 to 31. The same night he got up and took his two wives, his two maids, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. He took them and sent them across the stream, and likewise everything that he had. Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he struck him on the hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day is breaking." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." So he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then the man said, "You shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God and with humans and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it that you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life is preserved." The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Our second reading is the Old Testament, Psalm 17, verses 1 to 7 and 15, and will be read responsively. Hear, O just cause, O Lord, attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
As for what others do,
by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent.
My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped.
I call upon you, for you will answer me, O God. Incline your ear to hear me. Hear my words.
Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand.
As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I awake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness.
Hear a just cause, O Lord. Attend to my cry. Give ear to my prayer from lips free of deceit.
From you let my vindication come. Let your eyes see the right.
If you try my heart, if you visit me by night, if you test me, you will find no wickedness in me. My mouth does not transgress.
As for what others do, by the word of your lips, I have avoided the ways of the violent.
My steps have held fast to your paths. My feet have not slipped.
I will call upon you, for you will answer me. O God, incline your ear to me, hear my words.
Wondrously show your steadfast love, O Savior of those who seek refuge from their adversaries at your right hand.
As for me, I shall behold your face in righteousness. When I wake, I shall be satisfied beholding your likeness.
Our next reading is from the New Testament, Romans 9, verses 1 to 5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all, God blessed forever. Amen. Our final reading is from the New Testament, Matthew 14, verses 13 to 21. Now when Jesus heard this, he withdrew from there in a boat to a deserted place by himself. But when the crowds heard it, they followed him on foot from the towns. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion for them and cured their sick. When it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a deserted place, and the hour is now late. Send the crowds away so that they may go into the villages and buy food for themselves." Jesus said to them, They need not go away. You give them something to eat. They replied, We have nothing here but 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he said, Bring them here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples. And the disciples gave them to the crowds, and all ate and were filled. And they took up what was left over of the broken pieces, 12 baskets full. And those who ate were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. This is the word of the Lord.
My sermon this morning is based on the last reading that we had, Matthew chapter 14, verses 13 to 21. Before I start, I would like to ask God strengthens my spirit and guides my tongue so that I can deliver his words clearly and effectively. Usually, when we read the Bible, we read it in small doses, little sips at a time. This means that the links between the various thoughts about the one subject with another subject may not be in stride. In my professional training, we always thought about the system level links and response. You cannot just look at one area. So today, I will attempt to put the reading of Matthew chapter 14 in context. In the first chapters of Matthew, Joseph and Mary fled from Judea, taking their child with them, because Herod the Great was killing Jewish children, as he heard that the king of the Jews had been born in a place called Bethlehem. Judea was a dangerous place for Jews who awaited a Jewish king. Herod ruled Judea as a puppet state of Rome by means of terror for many decades. He died shortly after Jesus was born and was responsible for the slaughter of the innocents. This is why Mary and Joseph fled to Egypt. A successor, Archelaus, was ruling at the time Joseph and Mary heard of the death of Herod. They started to return home to Judea, but fearing Archelaus, made their way to Nazareth in Galilee. Years later, another evil king, Herod, put John the Baptist to death because he had a great following and was announcing that indeed a righteous kingdom was near. Now John the Baptist was in prison because John dared to speak against Herod for the sake of Herodias, the wife of Herod's brother. John said, and I quote Matthew chapter 14 verse 4, "It is not lawful for you to have her." During the celebration of Herod's birthday, the daughter of Herodias danced for Herod, and Herod promised her anything that she asked for. Prompted by Herodias herself, her daughter asked John the Baptist for the head, asked the king for John the Baptist's head on a platter. So Herod commanded that John the Baptist be beheaded, and this was done. Now when Jesus heard of this calamity, and knowing that he too would be a target for persecution, he decided to withdraw to a solitary place. He needed to plan a strategy, so he decided to go and pray and contemplate what is next. He withdrew into himself and went in a boat to a deserted place so that he can be by himself. Why, you may ask? Because he wanted to have some inner reflection on the things that were happening at that time. Sometimes, when we have too many things all at once, we must stop and reflect on those things and formulate a plan. Now, when the crowds heard of this, they followed him on foot from the towns around where he was. When he went ashore, he met with them a great crowd. He, being Jesus, had compassion on them and started healing their sick. Now when it was evening, the disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the day is nearly finished. Please send the crowds home so they can travel to their villages and have something to eat and drink." But Jesus said, no, they need not go away. You give them something to eat. Remember, this was a desolate place, and they were begging Jesus to send the clouds away. All we have, they said, we have 5 loaves and 2 fish. How many can that feed? Jesus said, bring those things here to me. Then he ordered the crowds to sit down on the grass. And taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing. Then he broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples, and disciples gave them to the crowds. And they all ate and were satisfied. Following the feast, the disciples took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces that were left over. And those who ate were about 5,000. Now, this is the story of a miracle. But which miracle is it? The obvious answer is the multiplication of the loaves and the fishes. Now, Matthew places this story in a section of the gospel that shows Jesus preparing the disciples for their mission when he was no longer on earth. He was preparing them for the crisis of opposition in ministry and revealing to them the meaning of the bread of life. Jesus taught them what they can do even though their resources appear to be meager and their circumstances fraught with danger. He said to these disciples, they do not need to go away. You give them something to eat. That's verse 16. What he's saying is you have the resources to solve this problem. Take the initiative. Be the leaders in your community. In today's COVID-19 pandemic, we can see various responses from various leaders. Now, every one of us, by our own nature, thinks of how these events affect us before we think of others. When we started the lockdown on March 16, 2020, notice how we reacted. Within days, all the toilet paper was sold out. Now, I really don't understand why that happened, and I asked my wife why, and she couldn't explain it either. In contrast, notice how Jesus brought the concern of the people who were getting hungry up in front of the face of the disciples, and he looked at their reaction to the Lord's call. Jesus saw need, felt compassion, and said, feed my sheep. This is a desolate place, said the disciples. There is nothing here. In the last 18 weeks, how many times have we felt that this is a desolate place? There were no masks. Hand sanitizers was in short supply. Line up for basic needs that we need to live. We see our needs, but don't see what the Lord has provided. We cannot gather in groups of more than 50 people for worship. So the solution proposed by Dan and Alex Plant was to set up a webcast, a YouTube, so that we can do our worship from the safety of our homes. Birthday parties became drive-by celebrations. People learn how to adapt. On a personal note, I have spoken to my siblings more than before the pandemic set in, because the only way to communicate with them is through the telephone. I also walk around my neighborhood, and now I know pretty well everyone that lives in my village. So why do some feel weak and dejected? Is going to a bar with friends the only way of life that we know? Maybe some of us have forgotten that the Lord is our shepherd, and he will provide. We have nothing to feed this great crowd. There are so many, and we are so few. The need is too great. There is a lad here who has 5 loaves and 2 fishes. The resources are scarce. Let us look at the miracle of the loaves to the point of 2 higher order miracles. Now in John's scripture, he tells the same story, but in his gospel, he recorded Jesus' words as, I am the bread of life. I am the living bread come down from heaven. If a man eats this bread, he will live forever. Matthew tells the story more subtly, but the Eucharistic reference is unmistakable. In verse 19, it says, we have a reminder of the Last Supper, the Eucharistic feast. Jesus takes bread, recognizes it as the Father's gift, looks up to heaven, blesses it, breaks it, and instructs his disciples to distribute it. Then in verse 20, we see another subset of the story. The disciples get everyone to work together for a common purpose. I would often wonder, what if we ganged together as one and worked on the COVID-19 vaccine as a singular priority and not as a fragmented, polarized entity? What could we achieve? One of my vice presidents always told me, if you take two horses and tie their tails together, they will go nowhere. But put them in the harness and you can plow the fields. Everyone gathered was filled and much was left over. The disciples gathered up the baskets, 12 of them, one for each disciple. Each one of us has a mission to perform. One of telling the good news of the infinite abundance of God's love from which we can all eat. You may be hungry and in a desolate place. You want to be generous, but there are many and you are so few. What can you do? Well, feed the others and you will be fed. Individualistic thinking is replaced by community outreach. Sit down, divide the bread. The bread of heaven will never run out. Your thirst must be thirst for righteousness. The streams from heaven's throne will never run dry. You have life, you have it more abundantly, if you divide and pass the bread. Jesus miraculously fed 5,000 people. Actually, it's 5,000 plus. Strengthened the faith of his inner circle by doing what he did with the loaves and fishes. This left an enduring message for succeeding generations. Our Lord continues the miracle of the loaves as his life strengthens millions around the world who feed on the bread of life. We in turn work in the creation of a renewed earth under the reign of God. We as first line respondents continue to gather up the broken pieces, the broken lives, and restore them. If you look around, you will see we have all the skills to do many wonders. We just have to stop and contemplate what God is instructing us to do. Listen to his commands and then act. So leave your place of weakness and dejection and pass the bread to your friends and neighbors. Lift up their hearts. The crops are ready to be harvested. The only issue is the laborers are few and far between. To him be all honor and glory given as he leads us through the rough patches of our life here in this place. Protect us forever and ever. Amen. We now have a mission, moment, and a song by Gary. That was a very different experience speaking to an audience online and also trying to focus my eyes on the congregation who are gathered here. But I think it went okay. I will improve as we go on in time. Let us bow our heads in prayer. Dear Lord, on this day, the ninth Sunday after Pentecost, in these trying times, you mean more than all the world to us. Today we are reminded that Jesus is the world's light that produces goodness, justice, and truth. Please shine your light on us all. We long to live in your light. Our personal stories are not well known, and so our commitment to following you is also not well known or understood. Our community is suffering with this new and novel coronavirus. This virus is taxing our best minds. We see the second wave starting in England, Spain, Italy, and as we rush to reopen, we may be facing the same task. Starting with our mayor in Cornwall, Ms. Clement, and our premier, Mr. Ford, and our prime minister, Mr. Trudeau, place your hands on these people and guide them to take the correct decisions for us all. We feel alone as we are living apart from each other. Help us to restore our community of togetherness. Please step into this world and show us your way. Together we can overcome any hurdle. Shine your wisdom down on us, and then all we have to do is to follow your guidance. Show our scientists the way to flatten the curve and get 7 points to align so that we can claim they are trending in the right direction and we await the development of the vaccine. How wonderful it is to be loved by you. You look after us. You connected us to the fountain of living water. So when we are thirsty, we can drink and be satisfied. We can never, ever run out of water to drink. Support our frontline workers so they can all continue to do what they are doing and keep us all safe. Sometimes we stray away from your guidance and enter the shadows of darkness. Please steer us back to your light and assist us to live daily in this truth. And as you taught your disciples to pray together, we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We come now to our final hymn. And I've chosen, Break Now the Bread of Life. Again, as we read in Matthew, the bread of life is coming from heaven. Mary Ann Lathbury was born in Manchester, New York, on August the 10th, 1841. She wrote extensively for the American religious periodical press. This hymn, Break Now the Bread of Life, was written to provide an avenue to have communion with God, and is one of her most popular hymns. It was a study song for the Chautauqua Literary and Scientific Circle. It was written in the summer of 1880. The music of this hymn was penned by William Sherman, who was born in Buckland, Massachusetts in 1826. He was an American hymnist. After moving to Boston as a teenager, Sherwin studied music under Lowell Mason. He later worked at New England Conservatory of Music and taught singing in Massachusetts and New York. He was the first director of the Chautauqua movement in New York. Michelle and I will now sing hymn number 507, Break Now the Bread of Life. And as we go out into the world, help us to remember that just as Jesus taught his disciples to be of service to all people, so God has called us to participate in the redemption of all. We are each given unique gifts that we can use to bring radiant smiles to all the people that we meet every day. So let us develop and refine what we have been given to better our brethren. The benediction is taken from 2 Corinthians, verse 13 and 14. And as we go out from the sanctuary, or as we go offline into the world, let the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, the fellowship of Christ, be with you all this day and forever.